Blog Talk Radio.
Here we go.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is...
What? My name is...
Dr. Dre.
Yo.
Yeah.
Sir Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Woo! You hear that?
Yes, sir.
Oh, yeah.
Here we go.
Yes, sir.
It's our second show of 2017.
Ha ha.
What's
hey,
up in Istanbul, Turkey? What's up in Tokyo?
Yeah, he
what's
just,
up in Anchorage, all, people? Holla at your
he
people.
He out here reading off the world clock.
Last time we let Rob join the show early, that's the last time we do that, man. But no, it's all good.
Oaktown, we were just talking about y'all off the air. Holla at your people.
Too much sauce right there. Oh, man. We are officially talking sports with 12th Man. Not angelic voice, but the other voice you heard was the voice of my co-host. But I am Andre, joined by my fellow co-host. We are ready to kick off, as we talked about, another second edition of the Talking Sports 12th Man for 2017. JQ, how you feeling, sir?
Oh, man, I'm doing good. I went against my own self, and I watched the game. I'm glad I did. I wasn't going to watch it, though. I was serious about it, but I figured I might go ahead and watch it.
Yeah.
America, didn't I tell y'all that last week the dude was going to watch the show? Didn't I tell y'all that not to believe the dude watched the Dollar General Bowl?
He a junkie, what Rob's trying to say. It's all good.
He watched the R&L Carriers Bowl. Come on.
You was at the R&L Carrier Bowl.
Oh, that's even worse.
That was Louisiana, ain't it?
Oh,
yes.
The Poland Weedie the Bowl. He watched them all.
I probably did.
Oh, Lord have mercy. That other boy.
Wyoming against Weber State.
Rob is going off today, bro. What's that in the Rob? I don't even know what to do.
He got some rest. He ain't yawning now. He got some rest. He pulled balls.
Oh, yeah. I'm awake, and last week I was sleepy.
Damn, you always get some rest, bro. This is cracking me up. Rob Ford, how you doing this evening, sir? Dang.
Oh, man. Doing great. Down here in Houston, man, hearing it from these Texans and Cowboys fans. But I got news for y'all. Both of y'all losing this weekend. I already gave away my prediction. Shucks.
Yeah, I want y'all to know.
Oh, man. Right off the gate. So for those that don't know America, this is what we like to do. We like to get the juices flowing, as they say. And let's talk about how to reach out to you boys. You want to call into us and give us your thoughts, as always, as we like to do on a special Thursday night edition of Talking Sports with the 12th Man. The number to always call into us, 424-243-9519. Write that down, 424-243-9519. We are on Twitter at the number 12THMAN Sports. And last but not least, we're on Facebook. If you go to facebook.com/talkingsports with the 12th Man, or if you type in 12th Man Sports, you will find us as well. JQ, you always sign off with this. San Diego, keep it classy. Dude, they're moving, man. They're moving, bro. JQ, what are your thoughts, man? You gonna be okay?
I'm good. I feel bad for them, man. First St. Louis, you know, and now San Diego. I mean, the L.A. market is tempting on paper, but it really hasn't worked yet. And it hasn't worked, and that's why teams have left. If it, you know, all the allure of LA, if it could work, teams would never have moved. There would never be opens. And there's a reason. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you got to look at why there is an opportunity in a place. It's not always good because, you know, somebody was there and tried that opportunity and it didn't work. So I feel bad for the Charger fans, and I don't understand the fact that we're talking about owners, billionaire owners, you know, not millionaire, billionaire with a B, you know, getting mad with, you know, regular Joes working every day to help them build a stadium when they're already going to come to the stadium and line your pockets with the ticket prices and the park and the concessions and the jerseys and everything else that goes into it. You got to. I always think that by any time they try to hold the city hostage, you got to put more into it. You can't keep asking these folks to keep, you know, joining this arms race for a new building. You know, kids has got bad education and the people on the street. You know what I mean? Like, it's more important things to a city than spending money on that when you have the pockets to spend on it. You just don't want to, even though the San Diego fan base has been there. I haven't heard anything about them not doing anything. It's just the building is a – is a wreck in NFL standards, but you can't hold them over the barrel and then move up the road on them. That's I just don't like that for the San Diego fans. I really don't. And I don't know if it's going to work out in L.A. because it really has not worked out. And it's not like the Chargers are that much better than the Rams. I mean, okay, they are better than the Rams, but they aren't getting ready to be a Super Bowl contender next year or in the next 2-3 years unless something crazy happens. So you're not moving a good team into that market thinking you're going to capitalize on it. It's just a lose-lose, I think, for everybody involved.
Lose-lose. Rob, is JQ accurate in his assessment, sir?
Oh, I think, I think he's very accurate. Number one, did y'all see the crowds at the Rams games at the Coliseum this year? I mean, I know the Rams are not playoff team or winning team or anything like that. But if you think in a market like Los Angeles, you'll be able to fill up a stadium to go watch an NFL football game. I mean, that stadium was half empty for a lot of those games. And the NFL has not been successful in Los Angeles. We hadn't had a team in Los Angeles for 20 years, and now all of a sudden we're going to have two teams in Los Angeles, and they couldn't fill up a stadium for one team this past season. I think this is, you know, obviously Los Angeles is the second largest television market in the country, and that's what the NFL is looking at. And the bottom line is this as well. They'll make $1 billion a year just because they're in Los Angeles, and that's what these owners are looking at. The bottom line is, were they going to share a same stadium like the Giants and the Jets do in New York? But Los Angeles as a whole, football wise, from a fan perspective, has not been successful. And San Diego, obviously the city, the NFL was willing to put up a lot of money for them to get a new stadium, and San Diego wasn't, you know, willing to put up the rest. So I'm talking about the city of San Diego itself. So I mean, obviously they have to blame themselves for a lot of this as well. This is a big risk still to put two teams in a market where the NFL has just not been successful. And like I said, for 20 years there have not been one team, and now all of a sudden you have two teams in Los Angeles. So this is it's mind-boggling to me. And you know, speaking of the Chargers, you know, it looked like they're going to hire Anthony Lynn, the offensive coordinator for the Buffalo Bills, as the new head coach going into Los Angeles. And there is a group of owners in the NFL that's still very much against this move of them moving to Los Angeles. And there's a group of owners that don't feel like the move for the Rams was very successful this past season. So there's still a group of owners that's going to appeal this move. So I wouldn't say it's set in stone just yet. I mean, I'm pretty sure it's 75 or 80% done. But there is a group of owners in the league that's very much opposed against this move.
Wow. Let's hope that comes into play, too. I know that's your favorite commissioner, Rob, as he made the announcement, talking about how disappointing it is. But, you know, it was just terrible to whenever I saw that news come on the, you know, little wire there. And like you said, I think all of us have nailed it. Rob, like you said, man, in difference to what you said as far as 20 years, but, you know, even last year the Rams weren't the best team per se in the league. So that could be another reason why I was halfway full. But still, I agree with you in the fact that it's never been successful. You brought some great facts as far as the history. So, you know, if one team can't fill, you know, two is definitely not going to happen as well. So this is a bad move. San Diego, shame on you. I know Roger Dale tried to talk about Dean Spanos tried and his family tried. I doubt that money move by all standards. And I hope that it gets blocked. That, to me, went from that perspective too. So anything you want to wrap up with that, JQ, before we move on or no?
Yeah, well, it was just the you know, what Rob said, and that's the only point of what he said I disagree with, is that the NFL, I believe, were going to give them like $300 million, but that was independent of what the Spanos family would have had to put up with that. And they weren't willing to put up a larger portion, you know, to get it done. Because what you're talking about, if you want to keep up with the Joneses, the Jerry World, and the new one that's going up with the Rams, is that you're talking about $1 billion probably to build the state of our stadium and around there once it's all said and done. So the $300 million is nice from the NFL, but I mean, if I didn't see all the numbers that the Spanish Owner was putting up, they still were trying to raise, I believe, the hotel tax in San Diego to get the money. So they were still putting money on that. I mean, San Diego could have done it, so I guess I take some of that back, because most of the residents aren't going to be staying at the hotel. It's going to be hitting out-of-towners. But I guess they were saying they didn't want to hurt the tourism business, so they weighed the tourism business against having a pro football team, and they just decided against it. I'm with you. I just hate to see a fan base lose a team over that when these guys you're talking about are, you know, major players in the billion-dollar industry, and you squabbling over me paying this to get you a brand new stadium and everything that's going to come with it.
But, you know, just, the bottom line is this as well. Having an NFL team helps your tourism.
Yep.
And that's what a city, I think, you know, every time you show, you ever notice when you're watching the game on television, don't you always see nice sights of those particular cities? That,
yep.
you don't know to realize the impact that has on the city's tourism. And then you're talking about a market like San Diego, one of the most beautiful cities in America. I mean, showing those pictures when you're watching a Chargers game on television is worth millions to billions of dollars just from showing those pictures, free advertisement that you're getting from having the NFL team in San Diego. There's a lot of that that did not go in the thought process, and that's the reason why I say San Diego also is failed in this situation too. Because this also boosts your city. San Diego is a Super Bowl site. You get a new stadium, you're going to get multiple Super Bowls in that city.
That's true.
You know, it was always said the three best host cities for a Super Bowl were San Diego, New Orleans, and Miami. That's an automatic bonus if you're going to have a new stadium in San Diego. That's a given. And that's why I say the city failed as well.
Yeah, and I just want to, like, I know we're spending a lot of time on this, which we can. We got a little extra time here. And I love the fact, too, because, like you said, Rob, that's a great point about tourism and how that kind of impacts the city. With the recent developments with the Pro Bowl, you would love to see San Diego in that mix as well, possibly, going to San Diego for a Pro Bowl. That'd be a great site as well.
That's true.
So it's just a couple of things that, you know, you're squabbling over, you know, pennies like you talked about, and you're really affecting the future impact as far as that team. So just, you know, all F's from this perspective too, man. So it's just terrible.
And football fans and travel, people. Football, that's another thing. You know, football fans will travel to see their team.
That's true.
I mean, I'd love to go to San Diego to see my Falcons play. I mean, that's a great trip to hang out there, hang out with friends, family. You know, I know JQ always talk about San Diego, so it's just one of those things you'd love to take in the city, man.
It's beautiful.
So, like, you talk about a bad decision. I know we're spending a lot of time, but it's a bad decision all the way around. Even though I will have to say, where the stadium was at, it's not as close to the ocean as we thought. I remember whenever I went there, I thought we were going to be closer to the ocean. So that's my two cents on it. If we get enough funds, guys, make sure that the ocean is actually close to that, because they keep showing shots of the stadium, and they show shots of something. Stadium's actually downtown. It's not close to the water like I thought. So I'm a little disappointed from that perspective. But anyway, that's my two cents on that. So I don't know. Just saying. Let's keep it going. That was a lot, guys. In America, we apologize. We're just pretty passionate about that. And if they're listening to us, Chargers, y'all better do something about that. Let's kick it off with the NFL mock draft. And I do have to apologize to my co-host, Rob, because last week I was pretty adamant about the Browns taking a quarterback number one. But I actually kind of agree with him in that the Browns have more than enough picks. They don't want to waste that pick with number one to get a quarterback. They can get a quarterback later on. But I'm curious here to kind of let Rob kind of start off with his mock draft and kind of keep going with that, sir. So you have the floor again.
Well, I actually, Cleveland has two first-round picks in this draft. They have, at the moment, they have number one and they have number 12. I actually have them trading into the back of the first round and actually getting the third first-round pick in this draft. I have Seattle trading down and Cleveland moving in the back of the first round to get Deshaun Watson. Miles Garrett at the moment is by far the number one player on just about every team in the league's board. So unless he just totally goes through the interviewing process, the combine process, and his individual workouts and just totally bomb, that'll be the only way he won't be the number one pick in his draft. And Cleveland still has a lot of defensive needs. They were horrible on the defensive side of the ball this year as well, but they also desperately need a quarterback too. It's just that where their current picks are, unless Trubisky or Kizer was to fall to number 12, then you can justify them taking one at 12. But they have to find a quarterback in this draft. And right now, even though it's kind of hard to predict trades, I have them trading to the back end of the first round and getting Deshaun Watson.
Okay. Go ahead, JQ.
You know what? And I read another story that's similar to what you're talking about, Rob, but it's more aggressive because they've got so many picks in this draft and what the will and the dealing they've done. They could move up from 12. What I read is that they could package some of those, you know, that in another first, next year, or second, and some of the, you know, third and fourth round picks, and move up further up with that 12th round pick into the first round and potentially get two top five picks. So they've got a lot. They could be the wild card of this, where they move down and get more picks in this draft and just, you know, do more, you know, quantity and see what kind of quality falls out. Or they could package a couple and move up and say, okay, we got a lot of needs, but let's go get two impact guys in the top five and see where that takes us, which would be a very bold and interesting strategy. If you can go get a Myles Garrett and still get Deshaun Kizer, do you really need that fourth or third round pick when you know what I mean? Like, you could use it, but you get a potential game record, defensive end, and your franchise quarterback. If you get those two things and nothing else happens in the draft, that's still a successful draft. You know what I mean? So they could do that. That'd be interesting.
Yeah, you know what?
Yeah.
I'm going to go a different direction, too. I'll let you hold that thought, Rob. Because, you know, what if the Browns trade down and they somehow pick up and just call me whatever. Let's say they pick up a pass rusher and they pick up, like, a Leonard Fournette or something like that, and they get a quarterback. I mean, then you're talking about a very exciting team, right? You know, or if you trade down and maybe get Leonard Fournette, grab him, get a quarterback later on or whatever, or get another impact player, that could be another option too, right? I think they need more players, guys. So, you know, trading down may be fine, but there's a way for them to kind of coordinate that and just kind of get that guy, and then that team may be more exciting. That's just kind of me coming from that perspective. I don't know if you guys have any thoughts about that. I'll let you your thought, too. Yeah, good.
Well,
that's
all they can go a lot of different directions, as both of you all have already mentioned. I mean, they can trade down, they can trade up. I mean, they can be very aggressive, and obviously, what they do in free agency is going to, you know, determine a lot of things too. Now, obviously, there's a certain positions in free agency was almost impossible to find a starting quarterback, an elite pass rusher, an elite corner. You know, an elite offensive tackle. Those are positions you're almost going to be unheard of to find in free agency for the most part. I mean, I know the Giants was able to get Jenkins from the Rams. That's, you know, that's pretty good cornerback they were able to get this past offseason. But if you look at this Browns defense, and I know we're going to start a series of some of the team's needs for the offseason, but this Browns team, they need every level of the defense. And just a couple of years ago, this was a team we thought had some pretty good defensive players. But they need a pass rusher. They need linebackers. They need a corner. Joe Hayden's play has kind of fallen off a little bit. And they need depth, even if they do keep Hayden behind him. So there's a lot of – they need every area of their defense. Obviously, you need the most important position in football, a quarterback. And you still got to hope that Corey Coleman is going to be an elite playmaker, because they still need somebody that can be a playmaker on the perimeter. And outside of Joe Thomas, the offensive line was pretty weak. And he's about 10, 11 years in the league, so you got to be concerned about that too. So it's just as Andre mentioned, this team has a lot of weaknesses. And obviously when you're going to 1-15, you're going to have a lot of weaknesses. So there's a lot of problems when you look at the roster of this football team.
There's only one thing I'll say to that, and I'll throw it back to you, Dre, is that, come on, man, ain't nobody going to Cleveland in free agency. You stop that. So you're making the case that they're going to have to trade back and get more picks to fill more holes through the draft, so they can have those guys controlled for, you know, 3, 4, or 5 years. Because let's say just grossly overpay for some, you know, marquee free agent that comes loose. Ain't nobody going to Cleveland with a similar deal, or maybe a little less money to go somewhere where you actually feel like you can win. I mean, it's just that they went through that for a long time too. Still going through it.
LeBron James as the general manager.
They're going to do something crazy. Like, I'm just saying, they're not getting no free agents. I'm just going to be honest with the Cleveland fans. Listen, you got to get this through the draft and then show free agents that you have a good core that can come and join and put it over the top. Right now, the Browns don't even have a good core. So as a free agent, I'm not going to Cleveland. I mean, unless you just was beating chicks and driving backwards on 285. I mean, you gonna have a pick of places to go. You're not gonna go. You're not gonna choose Cleveland. I don't care what you say.
Yeah, that's good calls, man. Like I said, I'm kind of intrigued by Cleveland now. I mean, I think if they make a couple different moves, they could definitely, like you said, JQ, they can make a splash, but it's got to be through the draft. Like I said, you know, I think you can get – it's tough, guys. I mean, a dynamic defensive end could be an option, but I think, you know, stay tuned, man, about that Leonard Fournette thing, man. I think that may be something they – you know, if they get something like that, I mean, I know they're kind of – maybe they may be gun-shy with what happened with freaking your boy, crap, the other Alabama back. I'm drawing a blank right now. That just flamed out.
Yeah, but, I know exactly what you're talking about. Is it Trent Richardson?
Trent Richardson, yeah. So they may be a little gun-shy, but I think Fournette's going to be a better, you know, I think it's like Adrian Peterson-like, you know, so that may be an impact player too. So that may help get them. And you never know, that's going to – maybe that'll kind of bring some memory back to old school, like Ernie Davis's days. You're kind of bringing back something like that too, man. But, you know, that's just me.
I hope none of that happens.
You know.
And Dalvin Cook is another option too if you're talking running back.
Yeah. I'm just saying just an impact player to bring some more excitement to that offense.
Y'all stop talking.
Yeah.
I don't like that. You stop that, Cleveland. Get good players.
We're talking too much.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Hey, that's
just
a great
in case
segment,
you didn't, if you're a first time listener, he's a Bengal fan and he hates the Browns. So
yeah, I was gonna say don't do any of that. I hope they mess up every pick.
Oh man, so Rob, you want to keep going
so
with the mock draft?
JQ wants Cleveland to fail on the 3,000th quarterback in a row.
Absolutely, I want to reach 10,000.
Oh man.
Didn't they have a stat about the last time a Brown quarterback won something? It was like some crazy quarterback we ever heard. You know, I got to look that up too. But carry on. Rob, are you done with the mock draft here, or are we kind of segueing to the offseason needs as JQ?
Oh, yeah, we can move
back
on.
There?
You know.
Okay, cool. So I guess we're not going to let JQ talk too much about the offseason needs for the Browns. But, Rob, go ahead and talk about your thoughts, and we'll let JQ kind of stew a little bit about that. Go ahead, man.
Well, are we moving on to – we done with the Browns or are we moving on to the 49ers?
Was that it? I mean, you did all your complete analysis for the Browns, right? Is that what you said? You're pretty much good. Okay. All right. JQ, you want to add anything else? I'm scared.
No, I think I had everything I needed to add about the Browns. I'm not going to waste no more time on them.
In other words, he just wants them to fail on every pick. That's his off-season needs for the Browns.
Oh, man.
There you go.
Trade all their picks for freaking Eli Manning. No, all right.
Yeah, so, do all that.
Let's talk about the 49ers, guys. They are currently still – are they still without a coach, if I'm not mistaken? So they're still looking for a coach.
Yes. They're still without a coach and a general manager.
And a general manager. Yeah. So right now – and some may say without a quarterback. But let's keep this moving here.
And you are right.
Right. So, they are right.
So let's go ahead and kick this off too. And I'm not talking junk to my West Coasters. We love you, but So if you're the 49ers, let's talk about some needs. JQ, I'll let you kick it off, and Rob, stay tuned, man. So go ahead, JQ.
Well, you talked about it. You know, it's amazing to me having my team lost two Super Bowls to the 49ers that we're talking about the 49ers. And this state of disarray. It's very, you know, that team that you think about with Joe Montana and Steve Young and Jerry Rice and all of them, the fact that they've fallen so far is crazy to me. For me personally, it boggles my mind. But you're right. First of all, you got to get a head coach and a general manager before you talk about anything else. And what I've read is that they're really on Josh McDaniels. And there's somebody, I keep forgetting his name, that's in the personnel department for the Patriots, if they want to kind of pair together, if they get their wish and kind of get Patriots West in San Francisco. I don't know if that's going to happen, but first you got to get the power structure in place because that's going to put the parameters around what kind of offense you're going to run, what kind of defense you're going to run, and then you go about picking players in that manner. But beyond that, you got to have a quarterback, and we know Blaine Gabbert and Kaepernick are not that guy. So they got to get a quarterback. And, you know, we talked about the quarterback prospects. We don't have to rehash it, but they got to have one too. That's part of the reason why they're picking so high. And they just have lost so much. They got to get, you know, I think they have a serviceable back in Carlos Hyde, but they got to get some more offensive line help. Losing Uiagalelei to, like, Arizona, you know, those kind of things where they've lost that core that was there, that was on that run when they had Harbaugh. they've lost all that to free agency and to, you know, Willis retiring and the other linebacker also retiring. You know, they got to get, to me, the same thing you talk about Cleveland. They need a quarterback. They need an offensive line. They need help on every level of that defense. They got to get a game changer at one of those positions, namely, hopefully, a quarterback for them. But, you know, somebody that you can just lock into that position. But they got a lot. They got a lot of needs. But it starts at the top again. With, you know, you got to get a front office and a coach, and then, you know, I believe that they wasted Torrey Smith's prime, his ability to go deep. So they got to also have to get a wide receiver and a tight end. Like if you look at almost every personnel group, then they just are deficient. There are not a lot of good players on that San Francisco roster. There are a couple, but not a lot.
So I'm gonna ask this to Rob because, and we're gonna come back around. You know, we kind of are intimating that there's not a franchise quarterback in this draft. The second thing I want to talk about is the reason why Trent Baalke, the former GM, got fired is because the word on the street, we talked about this last week, was that Chip Kelly wanted, ironically, he wanted Dak Prescott, and he was overruled. So if Dak Prescott is there, who knows what the – I don't even know if he would even play or if he's in a bad system or what happened, whatever. But for the 49ers, are you trading for a quarterback? Are you drafting a quarterback? You know, because you've got them taking, you know, Jonathan Allen, I want to say, if I'm looking at that correctly. So are you trying to say that there's not a good quarterback or, you know, just kind of click it? So there you go, Rob.
Well, I think JQ went through it very well when you look at their when you look at their roster. I mean, I pretty much was going to say they're pretty much the exact same thing. And you have to make a decision if one of these quarterbacks is worth taking at the number two spot. At this current time, I think Jonathan Allen is a surefire number two pick. Or top three pick in this draft. I mean, he's going to dominate his man on the line of scrimmage, and so he's definitely a surefire pick. So you got to make a decision: is Kaiser or Trubisky that guy? And it's kind of hard to say until you get a head coach too. And just like JQ mentioned, Josh McDaniels is the front runner for this job. So it looked like the 49ers are going to wait patiently until the season is over to try to hire him as the next head coach. So it looked like they are going to go with an offensive guy. But this team just has so many needs, I mean, from top to bottom. I mean, from the ownership on down, this organization just needs a whole lot of restructure going forward if they're going to get back to their glory days.
Speaking of glory days, the Bears, man, you talk about a team that's fallen a little bit there. You know, obviously, I can blame a quarterback for the Bears, but the previous quarterback and obviously with your boy Jay Cutler. But they've actually made some strides here. So what are some offseason needs for the Bears, Rob?
Well, Jay Cutler, you mentioned it. That's the number one question they have to answer. Are you going to continue to move forward with him as your starting quarterback? Is he that guy you want in that position? And you got Deshaun Kaiser right down the road in Notre Dame. I think would, you know, really rejuvenate that fan base in Chicago with somewhat of a local guy right down the road that can come on and ignite your you know, franchise. John Fox needs his type of guys on defense too, and he doesn't have that. When you think of the Bears, you think monsters of the Midway, and they don't really have those type of guys either. So Jonathan Allen could be a possibility there. Derek Barnett, defensive end from Tennessee, he might be the best pass rusher in this draft outside of Myles Garrett. So he's another guy that could be a possibility. Yeah, he still don't have his guys on that defensive side of the football. Offensive line has gotten a little bit better in the interior. They could still use some help on the exterior of the line at the tackles position. So that's a possibility, but they don't really have a tackle at the moment as we're taking at the number four spot. But they'll need to address that here going forward as well in that system too. Looks like the wide receiver position, the kid that drafted from West Virginia hasn't really panned out because of injuries. Kevin White, there you go. You're still going to have to try to help yourselves on the perimeter, especially if you're going to get a quarterback going forward, whether it's Jay Cutler or if you're going to draft one as well. Those are the things. John Fox really wants to get back to a 3-4 defense. He don't really have the personnel for that in Chicago just yet. So he's going to need those type of guys for his defense. And I mean, you can always put the Bears in right with the Browns and the 49ers too, even though they I think the Bears were a little bit coached better, so their record is a little bit better. But they still have a lot of holes on this football team as well.
Go ahead, JQ.
Yeah, agree.
You know, Jordan Howard was somewhat of a bright spot, you know, somewhat of
yep.
a surprise at the running back position, so you might have something there. But yeah, there's still a lot that needs to be done with this team.
Mm-hmm.
Agreed. Now we'll put them in that same boat. And real quiet, like, the secondary didn't play bad. They got a couple of no-name guys back there, but they actually solidified that secondary played not bad. They just couldn't really get a good pass rush, and that's to your point. But in that 3-4 defense, I think Jonathan Allen and Barnett from Tennessee are good calls. You got to have a dominant defensive tackle if you want to, you know, control that middle in that 3-4 defense and let those middle linebackers, you know, flow freely to make plays. So I agree with that as well. I don't know if they need a wide receiver as much because, yes, they missed on Kevin White, but they might have struck gold with Cameron Meredith. And he came up real big when Alshon Jeffrey got suspended and those were hurt. If I'm the Bears, though, I think I franchise Alshon Jeffrey and I give it one more year to see if he keeps his head on right and stays healthy, what it can do if you keep Jay Cutler or you get one of these strong quarterbacks in this draft. We may not know that they're a franchise, but there are some good prospects. And I think the Jay Cutler, you know, era is coming to an end. I think his chapter is closing there in Chicago. But on the other points, I totally agree. He's got to have that defense fast and flowing. Jordan Howard was a revelation for them at running back. It helps having Matt Forte leave, you know, staying a little less. But running back is one of those positions you can place a little bit more easily than anywhere else. So for me, I agree. They got to get back to being strong up the middle, monsters in the midway. They got to play downhill in that cold weather and that wind in Chicago, and they just aren't able to do that right now.
Good call. We got about 13 minutes left, gentlemen. So let's talk about the Jaguars here, guys. And I got to say, I was pretty surprised about Doug Marrone getting that job. Thought that Mike Smith was going to come back and actually get that. And for whatever reason, you know, they went with Doug Marrone. I don't know what to say about this squad right about now. So I'm going to let you leave this off, JQ, and your thoughts, man, because it's like, but there you go.
They did, but what I think they did correctly was letting Tom Coughlin run everything. And Coughlin is going to wear his welcome out. But I think that young Jaguar defense and offense, really the whole team, they need to get to come together. They've got some rifts in that locker room from what I've heard about the offense versus the defense and now everybody being held accountable. You're not going to have that with Tom Coughlin. He's going to weed those guys out. And I think that's what this team at this juncture needs right now. They've got pieces. You know, getting Jackson from Denver, you know, Ramsey, Miles, Jack from UCLA. I mean, you know, Cyprian back there at safety. They've got pieces on defense as well. And we've seen Bortles play well, and then we've seen him play terrible this year. Is he still the guy? I don't know. So they may at some point in this draft also get a quarterback in case Bortles is not the guy. But they've got the wide receivers, and they need a running back. I just don't think T.J. Yeldon is every down back. He's third down back.
I agree.
And I believe that Chris Ivory is on the other side of where you want him to be. So they need a running back for sure. But, you know, when I look at their roster, they should be better than what they are. It's the fact they can't run the ball and they have inconsistent quarterback play and they just have a bunch of young guys that just have not gelled. You know, so to me, they have less holes to fill. They have more healing in terms of getting people to buy into the program, the camaraderie of it for, you know, bleeding for that guy next to you. I don't think that they have. If they can get that and find, you know, a running back, which is, like I said earlier, one of the more easier positions to find and fill and get, you know, better play from Bortles. They're not as far away because we've seen Bortles play well. It's not like we haven't seen him play well. So you say, well, he can't do it. I've seen him play well, but he played horrible this year. He's got to bounce back. So it's going to be really interesting to see how they, you know, how they draft to get a quarterback and how they deal with him in terms of getting him a QB coach or guru or whoever that can really speak to him and bring him back to that level he was ascending to as opposed to the regression he made this year.
Yeah, I always make fun of with Rob about Tom Coughlin, but definitely that dude's going to come in and definitely instill some discipline because that's what the Jokers need. If you get that, there's not going to be no more. They're going to be arriving on time. The Tom Coughlin rule, if you 15 minutes late, whatever. So that'll turn that.
Not 15 minutes early, you're late.
Yeah, that's exactly correct, bro. But, you know, I think you add that, and I agree with you, having a running back, that's a key cog to them. So Leonard Fournette, whoever goes and gets him, that's going to be a huge piece. Go ahead, Rob, your thoughts, man.
Well, yeah, I agree with the running back position. The main thing I will add to that is offensive line play has to get a lot better. The offensive line was atrocious this past season. I think that contributed. And, obviously I hate the Falcons, but if you look at Matt Ryan's season last season to this season, and I think the big difference was the offensive line play. It was the reason why he had to almost have an MVP
season.
Alex Mack, And I think the Jaguars, this was a team we thought was going to contend. I didn't quite think they were ready to win a division this year, but I thought they would have been a lot better. I thought they were going to be at least in the running for that division this season because of the way Bortles played last season with those weapons on the perimeter. But their offensive line was flat out atrocious. And defensively, they have some young pieces to build around. And, and based on where they're picking in the draft, you could possibly go with a Fournette or a Cook. It's probably not going to have an offensive lineman worth picking there at the moment. But hopefully you can add some value there in some of the second and third rounds when it comes to offensive linemen to help that line out. And maybe find somebody to come in the plug and free agency. But to me, that's the biggest weakness on this football team is that offensive line has to get better because you have some weapons on offense that you can build around. And getting back to Doug Marrone, I can tell you guys this. This guy is well-respected around the NFL. He was going to have his shot at numerous jobs. So it's in NFL circles, it's not that big of a surprise. I mean, he's very well respected around the NFL. And a lot of people forget this. But when he went to Syracuse to be a head coach, he really had that program heading in the right direction, playing the NFL brand of offense. And then obviously he went to Buffalo. And if I'm not mistaken, one of those years in Buffalo, he was 10-6, but he fell out of favor. He got into it with the ownership there. So he even had them heading in the right direction. And
he opted out of his contract.
Yeah.
Remember?
Yeah, absolutely.
His contract.
Yeah. And he obviously didn't like some of the direction ownership was going. And, but I can tell you that he is very well respected in NFL circles. And there were a lot of teams that were interested in him.
I didn't mean
good
it like that, Rob.
Line.
I guess I
forgot about it.
Yeah. Yeah, good call on that. I was just saying that I think it came out of left field that there was like, oh, Doug Marrone, like, you know, this guy. Because you didn't know if he kind of, like, burnt some bridges with that type of move. But
he was the interim
coach,
I think.
Yeah.
Wasn't
yeah.
he the interim coach when Bradley got fired and they played better?
Maybe have that wrong a little bit. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but it's all good. Good call.
He was the interim coach when Bradley got fired. I'm talking about the Buffalo thing. Yeah, but he was definitely the interim coach when Bradley got fired.
Yeah. Yep. Sorry, Josh.
You're fine. Good call. Hey, so, Rob, let's finish strong with the Titans. You talk about a good squad that has a pretty good nucleus right now with Marcus Mariota. They got some good offensive line play. Derrick Henry. Marco Murray. Yep. This is a team on the rise, Rob.
Yeah, I mean, toward the end of the season, you can really make a case they were the best team in that division. They just got going maybe just a little bit, tad bit late to catch Houston. But Marcus Mariota in the running game, man, they were running the ball down people's throats with the 1-2 punch of Murray and Derrick Henry, both downhill off the field. Runners, they were just out physically teams. This could be a team that's very much on the rise too, and this is another team with two first round picks too, so they have a chance to build upon and really be a strong contender in this AFC South. And defensively, they were pretty solid too. They could use right now. I haven't taken the safety JQ is probably familiar with Malik Hooker, safety from Ohio State.
Yep.
And this is the one area where they can really improve in on the defensive side of the ball is in their secondary right now. But offensively, offensive line was phenomenal this season. They got solid play at the tight end position, too, and definitely the running back and the quarterback position, too. This is an organization that I think may be heading for playoff contention for numerous years to come.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. They need some help at safety. They can stand to have another cornerback. I agree. I think that front seven is actually playing pretty good. And offensively, you talked about Jared Cook at tight end. Rashard Matthews was really good for them also. Sharp also as well, but he's young, and I think he's going to stand. I think they need another big wide receiver if they can get him. And Mariota just to heal and keep progressing the way he's progressing. That dude was making leaps and bounds until he broke his leg that same week the car broke his leg because they were still mathematically alive for the playoffs. Let's not forget that. They were still alive, and they broke his leg and lost that game and lost the next one. But they were alive. So, yeah, that Tennessee team is trending definitely in the right direction. They just have some small tweaks to make, but I agree, and they play in a very winnable division. Until Indianapolis gets it right around Andrew Luck, you know, the Indianapolis should own this division with the best quarterback in the division, Andrew Luck, but they aren't doing it. So Tennessee is still there, and you talked about the offensive line with LaJuan, I hate him, from Michigan, and a very good pick, Jay Cockle out of Michigan State.
Those two guys have come in and really
stabilized that offensive line. That's why you got that two-headed monster in the backfield just churning away yards. Even though when you know they're going to run, they're still able to get 3 or 4 yards. So agree, that Tennessee team, I think, is doing what we also thought that Jacksonville team would do, but they put it more together. And I think, again, if you don't have a quarterback, you don't have a shot. Mariota kept ascending, Blake Bortles regressed, and there's your difference.
And, JQ, didn't the Titans end up get Dorian Beckham Green or something like that? Did they pick him up? I think that's the big wide receiver. Am I missing something with
that? But you can't trust him. That dude can't stay
fair
nowhere.
Enough. Okay. I didn't know about him.
And the tight end that we were really meant to talk about for Tennessee Titans was Delanie Walker. He had a really good
season.
Really good season for the Titans.
Good call. I love it, gentlemen. All right, we are slowly but surely wrapping up the show. We got about 3 minutes here, so I want to get a minute in here to talk about some coaching news, and hopefully we'll kind of let this go into the OT portion too, because the Rams, surprise, surprise, reach out to the 30-year-old Sean McVay as the head coach, the former offensive coordinator for the Washington Redskins, and I guess we're going to spend some time with this, and I guess we got about 2 minutes and 50-something seconds. I don't think that's enough time for us to dive into this. So can we go ahead and get prepared for the OT portion? Rob, I don't know if you want to kind of do the fantasy shout-outs and then go into the OT portion, and we'll talk about the new young coach for the Rams.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we certainly appreciate all of you all for tuning in. Our fans in California and Texas and all around the country and the world, we appreciate you all for tuning in. Continue to follow us on Facebook, like us on Facebook, and follow us on Twitter. We have more sports updates coming to you really soon. Unfortunately, we're getting ready to go into our OT portion. We can't give you this portion of our show live, so you can click on the same link on tomorrow. We have some more. We got our NFL playoff predictions. You don't want to miss that on the OT portion. And we have some more sports we're going to get into. Our fantasy basketball shout-outs, the biggest winners of this previous week. I'm so hardened from Madison, Wisconsin, 6-2 over the Blue Devils. My co-host, Ohio Players, JQ, the 6-2
yes,
win
sir.
Over the Naptown Unibrows. Rhino from New Orleans, Saints Pelicans 23 over the Champions here, also a 6-2 win. And yours truly, Orleans Buck Jumpers, my team, with a 6-2 win over Pass the Rock. And my team still in first place, the Orleans Buck Jumpers.
Wow.
Holding on to first place. Those are your fantasy shout-outs to the week. Next week, we're going to do a special Monday night edition. We're going to go on 3 days rest. We for playoff pitching. We're going to go on 3 days rest, and we're going to come back at you on Monday night, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 10 p.m. Central. So you don't want to miss us on Monday night. Like I said, 3 days rest. We're doing it big. Good night, people.
Go ahead, JQ.
They won't let me catch him, dog. He's just staying 3 points ahead of me. It's making me so mad. Appreciate you, good people, for tuning in and listening to us. And definitely download it. We've got some more junk to talk off for the next 15 minutes.
I love it. The beautiful thing about this, gentlemen, is that the fact that we get some time to talk some junk. I did get a chance to listen to the previous week's shows, and it always cracks me up, man. It definitely shows that we're having a good time, we're having fun, and we're cracking it up. And, America, we hope that you're feeling that as well. Don't forget to call into your boys, the number 424-243-9519. Follow us on Twitter. We post some pretty awesome stuff. We also have some great pictures that we post on the Facebook page. Don't forget to check that out as well. I know we have a cracking – we should post more of this. We're cracking up about these too. So some of them may not be sort of totally clean, Rob. But other than that, they're pretty funny. So next week we'll see you guys as well. Oh, man. So we're officially into the OT portion. And let's talk about it. The Rams, Rob, was this a kind of surprise move? I heard someone from the NFL Network talk about this was kind of fascinating. But, yeah, they hired 30-year-old Sean McVay as a head coach. Is this left field? What happened?
Well, this was the one that's more shocking to me, even a lot more than Doug Marrone hire. I didn't see this one coming at all. I thought they were going to wait and talk to somebody like a Josh McDaniels or Kyle Shanahan from the Falcons.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of thought that those two guys was probably the front runners all along. You know, once they realized they couldn't get a Jim Harbaugh or Pete Carroll or John Gruden to come, I thought that those were going to be the top two guys for the job. So Sean McVay, 30 years old, obviously done a pretty solid job with Kirk Cousins over the last few years. So it's, but to me, still a big surprise. And obviously, they made an announcement tonight that they're hiring Wade Phillips as a defensive coordinator.
Yep.
So they're taking him away from the Denver Broncos. So that does give you some veteran leadership there to help McVay come along with the Rams. But still, you know, and maybe McVay can bring something very innovative to this organization. I mean, you're in a town like Los Angeles. Maybe that's what they're looking for. Phillips can still flat-out coach defense. There's no bottom there's bottom line of that. So, and they have still some pretty good personnel on the defensive side of the football with Greg Williams going over to the Cleveland Browns now. So, I mean, and McVay – McVay, you're hoping that you're going to bring some innovation. Jeff Fisher, his innovation is long gone. The game is passing him by. And so, you know, they're taking a shot on the guy. Maybe they see something, but it still came out of left field to me.
Thank you.
Yeah, and I think the other big piece you just talked about is that the strength of that team is that Rams defense. And getting Wade Phillips is a huge get for the Los Angeles Rams. You just can't understate that with and Aaron Donald anchoring that defensive line. They've got pieces on defense, and I think that's a good get for them, and maybe that's part of the package deal they put together. I agree, but if you're the Rams, this is their way of doing something splashy. You're L.A., you can't get the dudes that you wanted, the dudes with the high Q scores that Rob talked about. So you go and you make a splash in a different way. But what they want, and it basically comes out of this simply, they want Wade Phillips to maximize the strength of that team, which is the defense, and they want McVay to come over and mentor Goff in the way that they feel like he mentored Cousins and bring that out of him so that you get the best of both worlds on offense and defense. That's what the Rams are looking at. We don't know. Wade Phillips is a known. But we feel like he can do his part. McVay is an unknown as a 30-year-old. We only got his track record, what he did with Cousins, so that's where the gambles is. Do for Goff what you did for Cousins, and then we see what Wade does, and we just, you know, let it fall where it goes.
Yeah, I was actually looking this up because it was kind of surprising to me, gentlemen. And what I found out was that McVay is very renowned as being an offensive genius. And I say that obviously loosely from that perspective, but they said the fact that he's able to do some great things with Kirk Cousins, like you said, Rob, JQ, the fact that he came in and he blew away the owner as far as his presentation, as far as his knowledge about the team. So that's kind of the shocking part when they saw that. They're like, man, this guy actually can make some interesting moves, and that's probably how he got the job. I'm going to throw another name out to you guys. Have you guys heard of the name of Art Pappy Lewis? Does that name sound familiar?
Mm-mm.
Gentlemen?
Pappy Lewis?
Art Pappy Lewis.
No, you got me on that one.
Mm-mm. Little Jim Bob Cooter.
That's you wouldn't know the name. Art Pappy, that's funny, Rob. Art Pappy Lewis. 1938, the youngest head coach in NFL history. How old do you think he was? 27. And he was for the Cleveland Browns. So just to let you know, the youngest head coach in history was 27, 1938, Art Pappy Lewis. I was looking that up because I was trying to figure out the youngest. Now, as we go around, there's been a couple moves that happened, and we'll talk about that as well. Some other coaches that, and we were talking about this because we're talking about fascinating because This can either go two directions, gentlemen. Another coach that was pretty young whenever he was hired, Lane Kiffin. Ha! We know how that went with the Oakland Raiders.
Right.
Other coaches, he was about 30. The other coaches that were pretty young, Mike Tomlin, Bill Cowher, same thing.
John Gruden
was a pretty young coach. John Gruden, too. So these are some coaches that, you know, you're hoping that you kind of hit the right mark, if you will, because you can either go one direction or the other direction, too, man. So we'll see how the Rams are going to go, man, because this was kind of like, I think it was like from everyone's perspective, total shock. And, you know, if they, it looks like they're, like you talked about, with Jeff Fisher, the game is passing by, but we'll see if the Raiders made a nice little splash on this move, guys.
And at the moment, there's only one player on the Rams team that's older than Sean McVay, so it may not be as big a deal as we think it is, but but at the moment, there's only one player on the team that's older than him.
Shut up, bro. You know me. All right, let's talk about some playoff predictions here. We are ready to get this party started. Rob, go ahead and set this off, sir.
All right, what's the first matchup we're talking about?
Let's start off with the first matchup on Saturday, the Seahawks versus the Atlanta Falcons. So go ahead, Rob.
I think this is a very intriguing matchup. I mean, everybody know how I feel about the Falcons, but I think they'll win this game. I think they'll win it in a close one. I think Seattle's championship moxie keeps this game close. But I do think Atlanta is a better team in this matchup, and they're going to be at home. And so I'm looking at a really good game here. I'm thinking like 30-28 kind of victory for Atlanta.
Go ahead, JQ.
Yeah, I don't know if the Seahawks can score that many points. I think if the Falcons win, if the Seahawks can keep it close, it will only be because they are able to run the ball and keep Matt Ryan sitting on the bench, because one of Atlanta's deficiencies is their rush defense. I still think Atlanta should win this game, but I think it's closer because I think Seattle is able to limit the number of possessions that Atlanta can have where Matt Ryan is on the field to be able to go bounce away. But I don't know if Seattle can get to 28 points. So I'm looking at more of a 24-20 Atlanta win.
Fair enough. I'm going 35-13, man, all in, bro. Hey, let's have some
fun. Wow.
I got to say, I'm just joking.
He's a homer.
I think we're gonna put a lot of points up there. So I'm just saying, man. So that's just me. I do want to say this, gentlemen, if you don't mind, I am DJing an event on Saturday, so please don't give me any type of updates on the game. I'm gonna watch the game on Sunday. So I'm going on a social media strike on Saturday. So if you guys can just show me some love and don't post anything or don't text me, okay?
Can I ask you a question? Is the DJ event here in Atlanta?
It is in Atlanta.
You have
man.
No chance of DJing event in Atlanta with Atlanta players. Stop it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Rob Belling.
There's no way Atlanta in the playoffs at a Saturday 4:35 kickoff and you DJ an event and starts to what, 7 or 8, and ain't nobody going to come in and talk about the game? You have no chance. You have no chance.
You're probably right. All right. Okay. Well, we'll see. All right. That's a good call.
I'm just saying.
You're actually right. We'll see how that plays.
Very much right.
Yeah. I'm hoping.
Well, I'm just proud of you, man. Because I mean, I got a quick little story to tell. I know we don't have much time on the show.
Here we go.
Back in the day, JQ,
mm-mm.
Andre wouldn't work if the Falcons were playing.
No, I wouldn't. Uh-oh. I'm glad
you got your priorities in order now, bro.
Oh man, here we go.
I just threw that in there, but
let's go. This dude talking junk, bro.
He knows it's a true story too.
It is a true story. Yeah, I admit it. I admit it a couple times. Now the beauty of the TiVo and the whole thing with the enough space on the DVR is kind of keeping everything going too. But
come on, man.
There's still love. We'll move on. Let's move on, Rob. I got something for you too later on. Rob. Let's talk about the next matchup. Well, still on Saturday, Houston at New England. Does Bill O'Brien have a shot, man?
Right.
Apparently,
so let's just go.
Apparently not.
Let's just go to the next one. I think everybody has the same pick.
38-10 New England. I don't think it's gonna be close.
No, exactly.
The teacher is gonna rob the student. Pittsburgh at KFC. Now, granted, I said KFC, bro. I said
KFC.
I said Pittsburgh at KC.
He said KFC.
Come on, man.
I thought he said KFC.
I said I say KC, bro.
No. You want some hot wings because you said KC.
I'm looking at the same. I'm looking at the same, bro.
We
got to
go back and replay the broadcast.
That's what he said. Don't even worry about it.
Back in. Dang it. Pittsburgh, KC. Yeah, another
at least
a
mashed potatoes.
Go ahead. Oh, here we go. We got 5 minutes.
I'm sorry. This is very intriguing. And it comes down to me, too, whether or not Ben's foot is really healthy. They say he's out the boot, and that's all well and good. But is he 100%? Because I was ignorant by Mike Tomlin to have him throw the ball to put him in that position against Miami when you had the game in hand. But I still feel like it's going to come down. I hate to say the words out my mouth. To see a Pittsburgh-New England AFC Championship game. I think it was destined to be, when you look at that field and those teams in it, who you think would be the last two teams standing. If you put away your bias, you would say New England-Pittsburgh. So that's what I'm going to go with.
Go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, I like Pittsburgh. This is another close game. I'm thinking 26-24 road win in Arrowhead, which is not an easy place to go on the road to win. But I just think if Pittsburgh is on, when they have Le'Veon Bell, Antonio Brown, and Ben Roethlisberger, that offense with that kind of trio is going to be tough to stop.
Mm. All right. Great game. Green Bay at Dallas. Go ahead, JQ.
You know what? All the signs say you go with Dallas and the ball control, but I just have issues with taking your two best players as rookies winning a game of this caliber going against Aaron Rodgers.
Mm.
And I just feel like Aaron Rodgers is going to find a way to win that game for Green Bay. He's just on such a roll. He told us he was going to do it. He's in the process of doing it. Jordy Nelson being hurt is a definite setback, no doubt about it. I would be more confident about picking Green Bay if Jordy Nelson was playing. But, you know, Aaron Rodgers with his ability to extend the play and just his uncanny ability with a flick of a wrist on a roll to put it in a, you know, 3x3 box 35 yards down the field. I think that's what it's going to take, but I think he does it. And he finds a way to win a 3-point game, 30-27, Green Bay.
They only got two receivers, Rob. Go ahead.
Well, I've been torn with this matchup. And obviously, as JQ mentioned, if Jordy Nelson was completely healthy, I think I'll be all in with New England. I mean, I'm sorry, not New England, Green Bay. But I'm still going to pick Green Bay. I just think it may be a little bit closer. But I just think, just as JQ mentioned, Aaron Rodgers is hot. I mean, he was flat out on fire. It just lit up the Giants this past weekend, over 300-some yards, four touchdowns. Made it look easy. Got the Hail Mary play. I just think things are clicking for them. And I don't think Dallas is a hard place to go on the road and get a win in a playoff game. And so I like Green Bay in this game. I know Dallas has been the best team in the NFC all season. But I just think Green Bay has just got it clicking right now. They got it going on at the moment, at the right time. I like them to go on the road and get this win.
We got a hammer reference and got it going on.
Yeah, man, it's been a great call, man. Go ahead.
I said 30-27.
He's trying to get
field goal.
Yeah, we're hoping that right now they haven't been playing by rookies, man. So we'll see if they actually run into that kind of rookie wall, if you will, too. Really quickly, guys, we've got about 2 minutes. I want to do a quick shout-out here as far as the hires, and hopefully we'll talk about the Chargers hiring Lynn, which was interesting because we thought that freaking Mike Smith was kind of on the route to get that, but he got re-upped by the Bucks. And obviously Joseph. Okay, I was thinking of that.
At New Orleans.
Real quick. Yeah, so got hired for obviously going to Denver. I got some insight as far as that because the Shanahan wasn't going to get there because John Elway didn't appreciate the dad, some kind of friction back in the day, so that he actually got knocked out of that one. But, you know, holding a conversation too. But maybe we'll talk about that next week. Gentlemen, Rob, in the show, we got about a minute. Give me 30 seconds and 30 seconds for JQ.
Vance Joseph, I remember he was a high school quarterback in New Orleans. Now defensive coordinator going on to be the head coach. Monday night, we're going on 3 days rest, people. 11 p.m. Eastern. You don't want to miss us. We get you ready for the championship week.
Vance Joseph, Mike Zimmer, Jay Gruden, Hugh Jackson, and I still got Marvin Lewis. For real, folks? Like, seriously? what's really happening? It was all on the defensive staff together for the Bengals, and I'm still stuck with Marvin Lewis. That's all I'm going to say. Good night, good folks. Appreciate you for listening to us. Just feel my pain.
is what I'm trying to get you to understand. Feel where I'm coming from with my.
Wow, bro.
He's got pictures.
If you would have said Jeff Fisher, I'd be holding the conversation, bro. If you would have said Jeff Fisher was over the child, I'd be like, oh.
Marvin Lewis is now Jeff Fisher.
Hey, we got Sean Payton still has a 379 seasons in a row.
You stop it. Yeah. Super Bowl.
Yeah. Good night, folks.
You stop it.